Hello and welcome to Hindsight here on RN. I'm Lorena Allam. Today we return to the scene of one of the most bitter civil conflicts of the 20th century in Northern Ireland. So what did the children remember of those terrible times? Today we hear from some of those children who were caught up in the North Belfast suburb of Ardoyne. Ardoyne was home to the Murder Mile, where there were more deaths per capita than anywhere else in Northern Ireland. And at the centre of Ardoyne, in an area that came to be occupied by Protestants, are the Holy Cross Catholic Primary Schools, enduring symbols of the deep chasm wrought by the country's sectarian divide. Today's program is a portrait of the Troubles through the childhood memories of the people of Ardoyne, Catholic and Protestant, nationalist and loyalist, who, as adults, are trying to come to terms with the legacies of this past.
I was born in 69. Born and bred in Ardoyne.
Child of Ardoyne.
That was my first classroom, the bottom one here, and see the tins down.
Sammy McLarnon, Herbert Street, 15th of August, 1969.
See, when I was a kid, there used to be the huts. Do you know, like, huts that used to be in the Great Escape? They used to be the girls' school before Holy Cross Girls was built.
John Laverty, Bally Murphy, 11th of August, 1971.
I think I was about 10, maybe, 9 or 10, but I was on my bike, me and my friend, at Flack Street. A woman opened her door and shouted, "Get off your bikes, get in, get in, get off your bikes." And we run to a back door and we couldn't get in. We were crying our eyes out. But somebody opened the door and pulled us in and made us get down on the floor. The bullets were right over the top of our heads. Etna Drive was always a battlefield. Always.
Michael McLarnon, Etna Drive, 28th of October, 1971.
You know, when I walk in here and I look at all those classrooms and I look at the windows, I can still see me looking back out. And we were all just leaned along the window and everybody looking out. They wouldn't allow us out. Just a wee ratting going on. Yeah, but hear the crack of the plastic bullets and all being shot.
Johnny Coupland, Strathroy Park, 30th of October, 1971.
See where the post office van is?
Margaret McCorry, Crumlin Road.
See, down there, the post office van the other side, 150 yards away. That's the Catholic bus stop.
Gerard McDade, Frampton Park entry, 21st of...
This is where the prods get on the bus, and this is where the Catholics get on the same bus.
Bernard Rice, Crumlin Road.
We actually have different bus stops, but we use the same bus. It is madness. But it's normal, and that's the really sad bit.
David McCauley, age 15. Fairfield Street, 19th of February, 1972.
He must have been about the only one in that street at that particular time whenever the sniper got him. But I've been told that he was shot in the chest and tried to make his way up the street and that they gunned him then in the back to just pick on an innocent child.
Something like 99 local people were killed in the conflict here now. It means almost everyone lost a relative of some sort, whether it was a mother, father, brother, sister, uncles, aunts, cousins.
It's something like 23%, 24% of the murders during the Troubles, as we call them, 69 to mid-90s, were committed within a square mile.
This family became early victims of the fighting when teenager Hugh McGarry went to deal with a petrol bomb and met a man with a shotgun. He fired full in the boy's face, wounding him dreadfully.
Total blindness. No, totally blind now. Except for maybe if the sun's very bright, I can see the sun a bit, you know.
How old were you?
17.
The whole way up the Crumlin Road, not one or two people, but I'd say about a dozen altogether were shouting across, "There's that blind orange bastard. There's that bastard's mother with him today again.
Say I did never, they'd get me. They'd finish me off.
You just couldn't understand the mind of these people anymore.
Sean McGeer, community worker in Ardoyne, working at Community Restorative Justice. I was 12 years of age when this blew up, and I was living just outside the area at that stage. We had moved from Ardoyne in the 1960s. A lot of people had been able to, there was a bit more social movement, and people moved into areas that were a bit mixed. I lived in what was a predominantly unionist community in Ballysillan, but that had maybe 30, 40 niceness families, and we were all gradually put out in the period between 1969 and 72, something like 50,000 families right across Belfast and across the north were forced out of their homes. Like a lot of other people, we moved back to Ardoyne because it was safer to do so by the beginning of 1972.
Well, like, crowds came in from those side streets of the Shankill Road and all round about. Now, they come up in hundreds, and they were led by a character. He was stripped to the waist. He had nothing on him, his trousers. He was stripped to the waist, and he was shouting, "Burn them out, and get the young ones, get the young ones, get the young ones."
I remember sitting on our front wall. I think it was around about 1971. And I remember seeing the ashes coming down, and I remember it was like snow. I always picture that there, it was like snow. And you're looking up, and you're just looking, and you're just going, what is happening? It's three streets of houses up in flames. My father and other men were running about trying to get hose pipes. The smoke and the flames and the dust and the ice, it's just all over you.
Out playing, then my mum would call me in when the shooting started.
Have you been fighting?
No, I guess I mean I was in the house and all you heard was bang, 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 and we had to lie down. Bang, bang, bang.
What's all the shooting about, do you know?
No.
Can you tell me how old you are?
I'm 9.
I think I was only about 7 or 8 years old. After all that, those three streets became our playground.
I'm Christine, I'm 19.
Karen, Christine's mummy.
At one time she asked me, what am I? A Catholic or a Protestant?
I was old enough to know that there was a feud between Catholics and Protestants.
I think you were first year.
And I would never ever walk through Patterson area by myself. Like the Shankill, you would never see me in the Shankill by myself.
Half of my family are Protestants. My daddy was from the Shankill Road. So...
In Belfast, the protection of the military is called for to get children safely to school and home again. Their school uniform clearly marks them as the enemy to the Catholics on the other side of Crumlin Road. Last Friday, Private Peter Sharp of the Green Howards was shot and killed while escorting children on a patrol like this.
It's British Ulster, and my child's British, and these people are rebels.
But your children are in danger going up that way.
No, they shouldn't be in danger. I personally protect my child.
In what way?
Well, I have a legal shotgun, and should I have to carry it up the Crum Road, I'll do so to protect my child.
What happened?
They started chanting and shouting and singing fiend songs across the road. Just ridiculous. I was going to be lenient, I was going to turn my child, but not after today. My child will go up that road, should I have to go up with her every day I have my life.
What about going on another road rather than the Crumlin Mary?
No, no.
The Crumlin's our road, and it's going to stay Protestant.
Aren't you afraid of the stones?
No, I'm not, because if I get hit with one, I'd throw it back.
But what if it's worse than stones?
What if it is? Can we get bottles to make petrol bombs too?
That's right, love.
Patrick O'Neill, 4th River Drive, 22nd of July, 1972. Jerry Geerin, Crumlin Road, 30th of November, 1972. Terry Toolan, Eskdale Gardens, 14th of July, 1972. James Reid, Eskdale Gardens, 14th of July, 1972.
I live in Eskdale Gardens, right? Mm-hmm. At the top of the streets every night, they're shooting. All them kids are terrified, so they are, and that's why we're moving. Lived all their lives, then we have to run. What for?
Path to cross on. That's Woodville what I want to know.
Why do we have
2nd
to run?
Of March, 1973.
All my aunties were burnt out.
Eddie Sharp.
They run down
Bamberg
after with a machine gun and wouldn't let her into the entrance.
1973.
One of my aunties is
Pat McCabe,
Home
Dean Gardens, 27th of March, 1973.
When this community had around 12,000 people living here, we had something like 4 military installations inside the area, one close to our office here in Flack Street, one at what was the bus depot site, one at Children's Playground that was taken over that has a panoramic view of the area.
Now, we've walked a couple of hundred yards from the main road. This is a wall a quarter of a mile long, built of double-skinned brick with a pier every 5 metres. The pier itself is a metre square, topped with concrete, then scaffolding type fixtures to allow security wire to be put on top of that. The plan was to build housing for the Unionist Protestant Loyalist estate on this area, which used to be the site of a school. But part of the whole design was that this wall would be built to separate the residents from the residents of the Ardoyne on the other side of the wall.
Anthony McDowell, age 12, Etna Drive, 19th
The vast majority of kids go to segregated schools.
Sean Sid McKee.
But when
age
they're
17,
out of their school uniforms
Street,
and if they're not
May,
wearing Rangers or Celtic.
Terry McCafferty, Rush Park Estate.
I would defy anyone to be able to pick them out.
Ballyduff Estate, 10th of October, 1974.
The man's body, lying in a lane on the edge of the Hightown Road, was spotted by a passing motorist. He'd been badly beaten, then shot several times in the head and chest. He was a young man, trendily dressed with fuzzy afro-style hair.
Kieran Murphy, age 17, Hightown Road, 13th of October, 1974.
This school has a mountain of history. You know, if we could just talk, what it would be able to tell you. Most of the people who will be collecting their children, the father went to the school and their father went to this here school. My young son even went to this school and his friends. And what you have here, it's history. And the sad thing about it is that it has its tragic stories also to tell.
I went to Holy Cross many, many years ago. We used to get a bus from the top of Etna Drive up Alliance Avenue. I think the time, I can vaguely remember the time before that we were being walked up, but then there was a bit of trouble started and some of us got threatened with brushes and mops from women. I don't know what happened. I've never really asked my mummy what happened. And I remember running down the road. I think I'd have been about 76, roundabout. Oh, scary. But it was settled in a matter of a couple of days. It didn't go on as long as the last episode. But there's been a few things, you know.
Just standing here, I can just still picture all the young lads is all running about here. One of us would be running and the other one would be holding on to our shirts at the back, letting on where we're sort of like a wagon. And you can see also here with the wall, the mortar is actually different. And at that time I remember the British Army were after a few men who obviously were members of the IRA. And the men jumped over the wall here into the school, into Holy Cross Boys. They were heading for the gateway over here, which would have took them out into Brunton Park. But the Saracen, massive steel vehicle, it just ploughed through the wall. And you can still see to this day where the wall has been rebuilt.
At about 7 o'clock last night, there was a knock at the door of number 33. The girl, who went to answer the door, didn't immediately open it, but instead went to the window to look out to see who was there.
Geraldine McCune, age 14, Mountain View Gardens, 8th of December, 1976.
She pulled down the Venetian blind, and when she looked out, she saw two men, one of them armed. The armed man fired through the window, hitting the girl in the head, and then the two men made off in a waiting red Hillman Avenger car, which was driven by a third man.
Trevor McKibben, Flock Street, 17th Sean McBride, April, Etna Drive, 21st of April, 1977.
Trevor McNulty, Alexander Flocks,
Denny Brown, Ballysillan Road, 21st of June, 1978. Jim Mulvenna, Ballysillan Road, Jackie Mealy, Ballysillan Road, 21st of June, 1978. Frankie Donnelly, Northwick Drive, Alex Reed, Shankill Road, 3rd of January, 1980. Morris Gilvary, South Armagh, 19th of January, 1981. Danny Barrett, aged 15, Havana Court, 9th of July, 1981.
At the time, on the 9th of July, was the hunger striker Joe McDonald had just died, and there was a bit of tension in the area. And Danny wanted to go out, you know, to play around his friends, but my daddy wouldn't let him. So my daddy says to him, you can stand at the front door, but I'll be with you. So him and his friends were standing at the front door, and my dad was standing just right beside him. And that's when Danny was shot. It was just complete mayhem. And after that, my only memory is my daddy coming to get me, and he lifted me up, and my arms were around his neck, and my legs were dangling from his waist, and I just remember him saying to me, Tina, Danny's dead.
Young people then, at my age, 13, 14, 15, who then increasingly began to get involved in conflicts with the army, weren't going to fight a modern army on the streets by night and then go up to school the next day and accept the authority of a school teacher. Psychologically, you've moved way beyond that. Parents also lost control to a certain extent because, again, if your children are out fighting an army, when they go home to the house, a father's authority was never the same either. The cornerstones of ordinary civil society broke down very, very badly.
The children are terrified. I personally have a 10-year-old daughter who has been on diazepam from yesterday.
The Holy Cross dispute was the most difficult, protracted community quagmire.
It's like a 1969-70 situation. And what for? Babies from nursery age going to school.
I went to Holy Cross Girls Primary School from a baby till primary 7.
Father Aidan Troy is at the head of the parents, as he has been every morning of this dispute, and we're now beginning to walk up the Ardoyne Road.
If you only focus on an event, you can have a goodie and a baddie.
I can actually hear in the distance a series of loud whistles. You may be able to begin to pick those up.
I remember being in the classroom and there was a bit of a fussle going on. I'd say you could see police cars and all.
Both at a political and at a community level, we have tended to focus on resolving the trigger issue rather than digging into why we got to this place in the first instance.
We all get sent home.
To the show, they're disgusted at what they say have been human rights abuses of people in the Glenbrin area. The Catholic parents are now coming past.
You know, no, something's happened. It's not just because there's Catholics walking up there. Something's happened. It just didn't happen overnight, you know?
I would say within a minute, the first of the parents will arrive at the gates of Holy Cross School.
Norman Hamilton, Minister of Ballysillan Presbyterian Church, which is in the Ardoyne area of North Belfast. So we're actually looking out here on one of the interfaces. On the right-hand side is the Nationalist Catholic Republican area of the Ardoyne. And to the left is the Unionist Protestant area of Upper Ardoyne. Microgeography matters here.
I'm Bill Shaw. I'm director of the 174 Trust. It's usually described as being in the middle of Murder Mile.
The folks who did the protesting, the unionists, the loyalist people, said, we have long-standing complaints about the way our community has been treated over generations. And the parents of the kids were quite rightfully saying, look, whatever has happened to you 20, 30 years ago isn't germane to the fact that my five-year-old is frightened going to school.
I got a phone call from a Sinn Féin contact. They'd organised a meeting in Belfast Castle. Norman had been approached and he was going to be going. So we had this situation where two Presbyterian ministers were coming with nationalist or Republican residents and one with some Protestant counterparts. And we taught for, this was in total, about 5.5 hours. And I remember on one occasion when we suspended, Norman and I met on the landing. And I remember vividly saying to him, whatever the rights or wrongs of their position, if they go ahead with this protest, this is going to be seen as Protestant bigots attacking Catholic schoolchildren. I mean, I actually said that. And Norman came back to me after a short intermission and he said, they said they don't care. They felt they had no other recourse.
Like a number of others, including Father Troy, who led the children to school every day, we camped on the Ardoyne Road for 3 months, every morning, 5 days a week. More than once, I remember walking up in that sterile zone between the two lines of police and the lines of Land Rovers, which were providing the secure corridor. I remember walking up that a few months before the children walk up, and walking up that road on my own in tears and thinking, this is awful. For me as an adult, I shudder to think what it's like for a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old.
At the time, we were just kind of like, whoa, I'm on TV.
Why should we be on TV? Because it shouldn't ever happen, so we shouldn't need to be, like...
She sounds smarter than us, and she's, like, 4 years younger.
I'm Claire Millian. I was in primary one. I was 4 or 5.
I'm Emma Harkin. I'm 18, and I was in primary school, like, 10 years ago.
I'm Seana Toll. I'm 17, and I went to Holy Cross Girls Primary School.
Mummy or my daddy walked us up the front of the road a couple of times, and then whenever it started getting really bad, we walked around the Crumlin Road, and then it started, like, getting bad up the Crumlin Road too.
Mummy was afraid to walk the road. Like, she wouldn't walk the road. Like, she brought me up the back way, and, like, my daddy brought me down instead. And I remember her going to my daddy, now you hold her hand and you don't let her go until you get down here. And she was really, like, telling my daddy off.
There was a lollipop woman. We used to have a stop and, like, chat with her. But that day she didn't. And then she turned against us and just started throwing stuff at us.
I don't know who it was, but it was some sort of politician, but it was one of them big rubber masks.
Yes,
I remember. Do you remember those? Like, the high, like, the big fake rubber faces. And even looking at them, like, even in the shop, they look creepy, and seeing, like, a bunch of people wearing them, shouting at you, it was like, oh my God, I'm really creeped out.
Do you remember the time they did a silent protest for one of the people, and someone got shot, like, one from their community, and they did, like, a silent protest thing, and they were all, like, running down the road, and they were, like, big placards, you know, and they didn't know, like, what was going on.
Someone was, like, hanging out of the window, like, on the road, I think it was out of the window, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they, like, peed in a balloon and threw it into the crowd. And, like, it busted and you could it just wasn't nice. You could smell it and it was... Who throws balloons with your head? People, it's so stupid.
I remember singing songs really loud with friends so we can black out, change the atmosphere, yeah. It was, Hey, Baby.
Hey, Baby. Ooh. Is it that one?
Yeah.
I wanna know if you'd be my girl.
Yeah.
And I got lighter and lighter.
I think for the first time as a Christian minister, I was faced, what do I do when I am faced with huge public evil in my parish area, a couple of 100 yards from my front door, quite literally, and on the world's media? In the midst of a life-changing 3 months for me, I have to say, I tried to position myself as someone who was there trying to understand something that might help us to resolve it.
A 16-year-old boy died last night when a pipe bomb exploded in his hand during riots in North Belfast. This morning, the police will attempt to ease tension in the area by mounting a big operation to ensure Catholic pupils can walk in safety to the Holy Cross Primary School, despite protests by loyalists.
Most mornings, I went to the nationalist side of the security cordon and talked to folks there. Now, many of those conversations were really difficult. The other thing I did very consciously was that I wore the same bright blue fleece and I stood in the same place and I stood with the same folded arms to try to make it clear that I was at the protest but not part of the protest.
Remember the day that the blast bomb?
I do remember that blast bomb. I felt like it was just a couple of metres away from us.
And that was it. She was like a wee demon. I'm going up to school that way. I go to school all the time, like, up that way. I'm going back up that way. I'm going up that way.
The day of the bomb was the day of my birthday. And, like, every child in our front foyer was crying. And on the news that night, there was something said about the sad faces at Holy Cross or something. And then there was just me in the corner with this big smile getting a happy birthday song to me, and it looked really random.
I'm past feeling that you can't understand that. I am past feeling. I'm not going to run my ones down for throwing that bomb. There must be a reason why we're doing this. There must be. We've had enough fear and we can't take it no more. We don't care.
I remember walking up to school one of the days to the collector. It was sort of coming to an end. And we were coming by a couple of houses just down below the school gate. And the elderly woman was out doing her garden. And it must have been her grandson, but he'd been about 18, maybe 20. And the next thing I heard him saying, there's a terrible smell here. It's a smell, do you smell fenians, ma? And my face started to boil. And I looked at the mummy, and she didn't say anything to him. Them people must have been bitter for a long time, you know, all that time, you know. That wee woman lived there all them years when I was going to school. She may have been one of the ones hitting me with a brush all them years ago.
You get down.
It was only 9/11 removed it as the leading news story.
I'll put the cattle on.
But probably put things in perspective for the people who were involved on both sides.
Harry Muldoon.
The people that say and put the past behind them, maybe if they were in the victim's shoes or their mother and father's shoes that's lost the children, there's no way you could do it. It's just not as easy as that.
Raymond Mooney, Holy Cross Chapel, 16th of September, 1986.
10 years on from Holy Cross, it does seem to me that that wall is a brand new concrete symbol of an inability of communities to engage with each other in any meaningful way.
Seamus Morris, Etna Drive, 8th of August.
You had to bring something in that was like, represented who you were, kind of, and I brought in the Holy Cross book, and one of the boys in my year, he came up to me and he says, Emma, I never knew that's where you went. And I was like, okay, I didn't think it was such a big deal. And he was like, no, I live right beside the road, he was telling me, and I was like, cool. And he was telling me how he could hear it, and he was like, Emma, I don't know how you did it, you were really brave to do that, because I remember lying in bed crying about it.
1993.
He was a Protestant boy.
Martin Bradley, Crumlin Road, 12th of May, 1994. John Fennell, Bundoran, 6th of March, 1996.
So we moved up here, got a wee bit of peace and quiet, and it is that. Mill Valley and Leganeel. Filipinos, Polish, Catholics, Protestants, we're all mixed in here. So we all got along.
Fra Shannon, Turf Lodge, 9th of June, 1996. Brian Service, Alliance Avenue, 31st of October, 1998.
Child of Ardoyne was produced by Alan Hall from Falling Tree Productions, originally for BBC Radio 3.